Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines at 844-322-2742. Go ahead and dial that number and be a part of the broadcast today if you have a problem situation or a particular Bible verse that you're wondering what it means. Now's the time. Call that number, 844-322-2742. This month we're talking about the grace of God, that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And not only are we saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that's exactly how we live the Christian life as well. By grace through faith in Jesus. So God initiates, we respond. He initiates in grace, we respond through faith, and all that faith is tied to the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's Christianity from start to finish. Paul put it this way in his letter to the Galatians. He said this, starting in verse 19 of chapter 2. He says, For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. So what is Paul saying here? It's like we've died in Christ, we've been buried with Christ, and then we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And here he defines what that newness of life is. He gives us the character, the essence of this new life that we have in Jesus Christ. And it's a life that we live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. So before we followed the ways of this world, we followed the rules and regulations of this world, we lived to gratify the desires of the flesh, but all that changed when we heard the good news of Jesus, the gospel of grace, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we heard that, something happened to us. We just didn't sign a belief document saying, hey, we believe these things. No, God did something to us. He made us alive together with Christ. We crossed over from death to life. And in this new life that we have, we live by faith. We're no longer bound by the law of sin and death. We have been set free, and now we can respond freely to the grace of God by faith and experience the very life of Christ to the full. So how do we live as believers? By grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is something that we really need to get a hold of. Why? Because we try to mix law and grace all the time. We think we're saved by grace, and then once we're saved, now we go back to living by rules and regulation, living by the law. But no, we've been set free from the law of sin and death. We've been released so that we can walk in the newness of life, and that is a life of faith in the risen Christ. And as we abide in Him, live in Him, depend upon Him, trust Him, walk in the Spirit, all of those different phrases that we see in the New Testament, then we're going to express His very life in and through us. That's the good news of the gospel, that you died in Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but not you. Christ lives in you, and the life that you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. That is the gospel of grace. Speaking of grace, we have a wonderful wonderful resource for you this month. It's called Simply Grace. It is a 6-message CD series recorded from a conference we did back in September. Really a powerful big picture look at the grace of God, how it saves you, how it sustains you, how it empowers you to live as a child of God in this present world. It is a fabulous resource. We want to put it in your hands. It is available for a gift, a Basic Gospel this month. And you can go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button or the big banner right on the homepage, either one, and that will take you to a form that you can fill out. And as you do, be sure to request your copy of Simply Grace. I guarantee you, you will be glad you did. This will be a great encouragement in your life, a blessing, as you see just the wonders of God's amazing grace that has been poured out on you in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Again, for all that information on this resource called Simply Grace, go to basicgospel.net and click the donate button. And as you do, we'll get that product to you as quickly as we can. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. We're glad that you have joined with us. We have some open lines available right now at 844-322-2742. If you would like to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, call right now, 844-322-2742. We are going to go to our phone lines and start right here in Dallas, Texas. Janice, you're on Basic Gospel. Welcome.
Thank you so much. My question, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, I don't have the chapter, but it talks like we're not supposed to associate or be friends with people that, disturb your spirit. But, and I know in the New Testament, I don't remember what chapter, but it said, told the disciples, if they don't receive the gospel, just, dust your feet off or something like that. And so my question is, some people I go around, I have to pray a lot after I leave them, and I was wondering if I should just avoid them completely.
Well, there is a passage, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 13, it's in the love chapter, that talks about the fact that bad company corrupts good morals. And so if you hang around with people that are, constantly dragging you to their way of life, constantly pressuring you to conform to the patterns of this world, that's probably not going to be a good thing for you to hang around them. It's probably not going to be a good thing, a wise thing, to hang around them. So I think you need some discernment there. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't love them. And love is, in the context of the Bible, it's most often talked about as an action, not a feeling. So when we look at the definition of love, Janice, it says love is patient. Well, we look at that as an adjective, but it's actually a verb. Love suffers long with people. So you're patient with people. You're kind to people. So if somebody needs kindness, regardless of who they are, you can extend kindness. Why? Because that's the love of God being expressed through you.
That clears it up for me. That's when I'm approached. I can be kind.
Absolutely.
And I have a friend. I have a friend in the hospital, and I was telling her how the Lord has, helped me, even though in my illness I was sick, but I got His comfort. She acts like she don't want to hear it, and I feel like she would feel a lot better if she talked with the Lord about her sickness. And she turns me off when I, say something like that. But I can be kind to her.
Absolutely. And that's...
And I can still visit her, and I don't have to tell her how the Lord has healed me and how He's helped me.
Well, I think you can share all of those things because that's a part of your human experience. That's a part of your life. And so you can share those. Now, how people respond to that's their choice, isn't it? If they reject that and they turn away from you because they fear like you might be trying to convert them or whatever that might be, that's their decision. But that doesn't mean that you can't love them. When they need kindness, you can be there to provide some kindness to them.
That's clear to me. That helped me a lot.
Okay. So, well, Janice,
it's not about them. It's about me and what I'm supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Walking in the spirit.
Absolutely. Well, let me put you on hold. Hold, Janice. I want to send you a book that I wrote a number of years ago. It's called Love Is, and it is a detailed look at 1 Corinthians 13 and what that passage on love really means and how we can live that out practically in our day-to-day lives. So you hang on, Janice. We'll send that to you, okay?
No matter how they act or respond.
That's exactly right.
I'd love to have that book. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You hang on. Okay, Janice. Well, let's go to Jerry. Well, we're going to wait on him just for a minute. We're going to go and hear from Mike, who called a couple of days ago.
I have a question. The question is, what scripture does the Roman Catholic doctrine use to justify speaking to the dead, praying to the dead, or praying to saints? For guidance, as in the utilization of the rosary and praying to Mary. Thank you very much.
Well, Mike, that's a good question. I think they use some passages, like, for example, I can't find it right now, but I think it's in Hebrews chapter 13. They also use a lot of tradition. So one of the things that they say is that everyone who has come to faith in Christ has eternal life. They're saints, and that's how God identifies each and every one of us as saints. We were sinners. We were saved by grace, and then we were given a new identity. We are saints by calling. And so they're saying since they have eternal life, they're still a part of the body of Christ. They're still members. That we should and can pray to them. So they're kind of looking at some truths about our eternal life in Christ, and so they're justifying, they're using those passages about we're all fellow members of the body, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 as well, and they're using that to justify that practice of praying to the saints and specifically praying to Mary. But the Word of God is always saying that our prayers are to be offered to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. We pray to Him. He's the one that put His Spirit into our hearts by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And so our relationship is with God and Jesus Christ through His work in death, burial, and resurrection is what gave us access to the very throne of grace, gave us access to this new relationship that we have as a result of God's grace for each and every one of us. So they use a lot of passages, not because any of those passages say that we should pray to the saints, but they use passages that they can kind of bend and put into that tradition as a justification for praying to the saints. So, Mike, I hope that is helpful. But again, as far as believers are concerned, our prayers, why would we want to pray to saints when we can pray to God the Father? Why do we want to pray to, you know, there's people who pray to angels. There's people that pray to Mary. There's people that pray to all sorts of things. There are people that try to pray to loved ones that have died before them. And they're offering up all of these prayers, and they're not realizing the significance that they have and the privilege that they have to actually pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So Mike, thank you so much for that question, and we certainly hope that helps. Let's go to Grand Prairie, Texas, and talk to Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm blessed.
Well, what's on your mind? How can we help you?
Well, one of your previous callers alluded to, like, when you go into a house and if they don't accept, and I can't remember the passage, but it's talking about shaking the dust off your feet.
Yeah, that's in Luke chapter 9. And Jesus is sending out the apostles, and they're to go to various cities. And he said he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not have two tunics. In whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you when you leave that town, shake off the dust from the feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So this was Jesus granting the apostles some authority. And they used that authority to heal and teach and preach. Some received them, some rejected them. To those that rejected, the dusting off of the feet was symbolic of their rejection. It was a testimony against them. So that's what that passage is all about.
Oh, I appreciate that. Somebody asked me about that yesterday, and I wasn't sure how to explain it to them, so that'll help.
Yeah. Well, and it's a matter of, you know, they can't, the apostles can't, you and I can't, we don't have the power to save. All we can do is present. All we can do is proclaim. So we lift up the name of Jesus, and we leave the results to God. Now, if people reject that, we just move on. We just keep going about the task that God has given us, and that task is to testify about the grace of God, the grace that saves us, the grace that sustains us, the grace that has the power to save others. So we just continue moving forward as God leads us. So the shaking off of the dust is to say, hey, we're moving on. We're not getting bogged down in this. We're moving on and finding people who will receive the good news of Jesus.
All right. Well, thank you for explaining that, and that'll help.
Well, you are so welcome. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it, Jerry. God bless you.
Right. You too. Thank you.
All right. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We're so glad you've joined us today. We do have an open line right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We had this question from Lisa from Facebook, who sent this last week. It says, can you give me an explanation from 1 Corinthians 12 concerning healing? In 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, in both of those chapters, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. And sandwiched in between those two chapters is the love chapter. And he leads out of chapter 12 into chapter 13 saying, let me show you a more excellent way. So God has gifted the body of Christ with different spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts are to be used for the edification and the building up of the body so that the body can carry out its purpose in the world today. So these gifts are for edification, for building up the body of Christ. So there were all kinds of gifts. There were gifts of teaching, gifts of prophecy, gifts of administration, gifts of tongues, gifts of healing, and all of those were there within the body of Christ for a purpose, to build up the body so that the body could carry out its function in the world today. Now, certainly if somebody is sick, their desire is to get well. Their desire is to be healed of that physical disease. Can healing take place supernaturally? Absolutely. Does it take place supernaturally? Absolutely. There are miracles that occur all the time. Just amazing things that happen. Now, if somebody's sick, I think you pray, Lord, please heal me. I think others that love you, that are praying with you, they do the same thing. They pray for that healing. But I think for all of us, we have to come to grips with the fact that when we come to Christ, there was a healing that took place, a healing of our souls that allows us to be content in any situation. When we receive Christ, we receive forgiveness of sins. We'll talk about a healing. What does that do? It lifts the guilt and shame and fear that we were under most of our lives. Now, that does something to our souls. When we're declared righteous in the sight of God, we relax, we rest in our relationship with God. We don't have to worry what he thinks about us anymore. We know he's declared us righteous. He sees us as holy and blameless. Why? Because that's what he's made us. So this gospel message has a healing for the soul. And as we rest in that, then that's the contentment, that's the peace that can get us through each and every circumstance that may come our way. So, yes, are there spiritual gifts of healing? That's what is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Those gifts were really operable back in the days of the apostles. And that gift was used quite often to substantiate the truth that they were trying to teach. And we don't see that used as often today, but God heals. And if he wants to give somebody that gift, that's his prerogative. But it's going to be for a purpose, to build up the body of Christ so that the body of Christ can carry out its purpose in this world today. So we hope that helps, Lisa, and thank you so much for that question. Well, let's go to Dennis in Texas and talk to Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mr. Sir. I forgot Rick.
Bob.
Bob, okay.
Maybe you were close.
Bob. Okay, well, I've had a question for a long time and never seemed to ask it. Okay, I know it says evil waves in the Bible, W-A-V-E-S, Satan is over the earth with the waves of the earth, right?
Oh, it's
somewhere. I'm asking.
Well, the verse you're talking about is Ephesians chapter 2, and it talks about the fact that we are dead in trespasses and sins, and that we follow the ways of the world. So that's how we once walked. We followed the ways, W-A-Y-S. So
okay,
the pattern.
W-A-V, V is,
yeah.
Victor. Is that the same, what you're talking about?
Well, I think what you're referring to is this passage in Ephesians 2. So there's the patterns of this world. So mm-hmm. Paul tells us to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be renewed by the renewing of the mind, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So we once followed the ways of this world, but we've been set free from that. We've been made alive together with Christ. So now we can be led by the Spirit and experience the abundant life of Jesus Christ to the full. So,
Okay,
Michelle, hope that helps.
I stay off the internet and everything, and I know we have to have it in the phone, but I just don't get on there because of that verse.
Yeah, well, that's a good decision for you. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and thank you so much for calling today. You hang on, okay? Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being with us on today's broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition. Be sure and join us then. If you would like to be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel, visit basicgospel.net and click the donate button. Well, we'll see you tomorrow.